Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Whenever and wherever you're listening to this podcast, you are very welcome. Welcome to Rugby News, the podcast about our town, our people. We'll kick off with a roundup of local news, news local to rugby, with the help of the excellent local newspapers, the Rugby Observer and the Rugby Advertiser. And in this week's show, podcast number 11, released on Friday the 31st of January, there are questions, including, what do we want from our local NHS? Is the town centre regeneration project in danger? And will they ever sort out the Avon Mill nightmare? I had planned to bring you a feature on the Chinese New Year festivities in Rugby Town last Sunday, but sadly, Storm Eowyn with her Storm und Drang put paid to that. What we do have, though, is a quiz from our friends at the Rugby Advertiser, with answers later in the podcast. And so, without further ado, here's our news. In early December, there were fears about the imminent closure of the 25-bed Hoskin ward at St. Cross. Two marches through the town raised the issue to such an extent that they began a series of high-level meetings involving local councillors, hospital authorities, representatives of the protesters, and John Slinger, our MP. I've seen nothing about the outcome of any of these meetings, but now John Slinger has announced a public consultation on health services in the next week. He is inviting constituents to have their say in shaping the future of the NHS at a community workshop. He said it's an opportunity for constituents to share their views, ideas and experiences to help create a health service that works better for everyone. It's so important to hear everyone's view on how we can build a better NHS fit for the future, which caters for everyone's needs. This will help the government prioritise what matters most for residents of Rugby and is an excellent opportunity for constituents to have their say about the future of healthcare here. Places are limited, so please do sign up, and if you can't make it, I encourage you to contribute online. The workshop takes place at a central Rugby location to be confirmed on registration on Thursday, February the 6th, between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. Well, I signed up for it, and the registration process required my name, email and a postcode, and if I had a particular question. It swallowed my replies, and I assume I will be told of the location in due course, but as yet, nothing. To register yourself, you'll find the link in the show notes. I'll have a special report from the meeting in the next podcast, that's number 12, on February the 7th. Nothing will get in the way of council plans to rejuvenate Rugby Town Centre despite the prospect of local government reorganisation looming large. That was the message from Rugby Borough Council leader Councillor Michael Moran in response to fears that plans to merge Warwickshire's range of councils into one entity could impact projects at a local level, including, critically, the Town Regeneration Project. You'll be aware that Warwickshire County Council has applied to be in the first tranche of areas that are currently covered by two levels of local government, county and then district and borough councils, to create one new unitary authority. If Warwickshire is accepted by the government as part of that first wave, it could all have happened by April 2027. All the other district and borough leaders in the county oppose the speed of the plans. But Rugby's Councillor Moran has not objected, reasoning that efficiencies could and should be made, and that not enough detail has yet been established to object at this stage. As I reported last week, there are fears in our borough that Rugby Town could be forgotten, and money Rugby Town has put aside for town regeneration could be swept away into county-level budgets for social care and education. Councillor Moran robustly rejected these fears, saying, it comes down to the quality of the individuals. At Rugby Borough Council, we have developed a corporate strategy that is clear and being put in place. Every resident has an equal vote and equal representation, and rugby does not miss out on its voice being heard any more than Leamington, Stratford or Nuneaton. Every part of the authority needs to speak up for its residents, so I don't see that being an issue in itself. I think it's probably a reflection of the past and Rugby Borough Council not getting its act together in the way that it could have, and a perception that Rugby Council hasn't performed. But I don't think that has a direct link to how a new authority could perform at all. Councillor Moran added, "Rugby's regeneration is going to take place. It is literally the cornerstone of what we are doing. Nothing will get in the way. Politicians have to focus on the output, not themselves." Asked how he could make promises given that the organisation he leads could be gone within 2.5 years, Councillor Moran replied, "We have a clear window to put those plans in place to ensure they are funded and deliverable. On that basis, there is no scenario that I can see where a new authority will want to derail that. But that is part of the negotiations and discussions that will take place now. Rugby residents have missed out on investment over years under previous administrations, so we are going to correct that and ensure it is a legacy of Rugby Borough Council." But strong-minded stuff from Councillor Moran highlights how sparky and loaded every part of the process could well be. Whether or not our application to be in the fast track to unitary status is accepted is not itself yet clear. And then, if accepted, how any new authority will actually restructure the delivery of its responsibilities is anyone's guess. The devil is always in the detail. There is support for the idea that rugby should be represented in any new setup by a town council, and personally, I think there's a lot to be said for that. Watch this space. For over a decade, the scheme to improve the road layout and relieve the congestion at the bottom of Newbold Road as it meets the bypass has been made known to us all and being brought steadily to fruition, slowly but not surely. They want to increase the capacity of Avon Mill Roundabout, add an extra roundabout at the junction of Newbold Road and Hunters Lane, connect with a wider bridge that takes bikes and pedestrians as well as dual carriageway road traffic. The county's cabinet approved the idea in principle and authorised the creation of an outline business case back in January 2023, 2 years ago. And it was scheduled to be done by September 2023. It appears that it has taken longer and required more effort than envisaged at the time to develop the outline business case, and it needs more funding to get it done. They've had difficulties in finalising the new bridge arrangement across the River Avon due to complexities in the flood modelling, and also the Department for Transport, let's call them DFT, started questioning post-COVID traffic flow projections. The initial funding has thus been fully exhausted. The DFT has recognised these problems and are now providing £2.44 million to help the council continue work to justify the project. By the way, the county is now assuming an outturn scheme cost of £40 million. Significantly up from the £23.6 million estimated in January 2023. If it does go ahead, the deal is that the County Council must contribute 15% to the project costs, which based on £40 million is £6 million. It was going to be a tight fit, finding the 15% of £23.5 million outturn costs. But with a £40 million outturn figure, the county has to find an extra £3.5 million or so. Stay with me, folks. Section 106 money, that's cash given by developers to the authorities during the planning process, generally for infrastructure work such as this, will make up some of that shortfall, but the source for the remainder has not yet been identified. Into the mix goes the overall statement from DfT that if the budget for the delivery of either the outline business case work or the full project is exceeded, Warwickshire County Council would be required to absorb the additional expenditure from its own financial resources, for which, as we know, a funding source has not yet been identified. Man, this is a complicated little puzzle. Needing the DfT to pay for the completion of the justification phase, the outcome of that might put the whole project beyond the resources of the county to play their part in its eventual realisation, leading to the DfT exercising their power to claw back the £2.4 million that's needed to make the business case for the project in the first place. Ouch. The story continues. But what is it with this country that any infrastructure work of any scale seems so impossible to complete in a timely manner and to an agreed budget? All right, let's have a general knowledge quiz taken from the Rugby Advertiser Excellent competition pages. And there's going to be four questions, each one with three options by way of multiple choice. Question number one. Which 2008 American fantasy comedy film starred Ricky Gervais as a dentist who can see and talk with dead people? Is it The Sixth Sense? Is it Ghost Town? Or is it Beetlejuice? Question two. Which Australian batsman holds the highest test career batting average of all time? Is it A. Don Bradman? B. Ricky Ponting? Or C. Sachin Tendulkar? 3. Who's the mother of both Richard I and King John? Marie de Medici, Joan of Arc, or Eleanor of Aquitaine? And the final question, where is novelist Jane Austen buried? Westminster Cathedral, Bath Abbey, or Westminster Abbey? Okay, we'll have the answers at the end of the news. Police have issued a warning after two young boys were seen scaling the high-rise Cemex House building on Saturday, January the 25th. Idiots. The boys, not the police. The children were reportedly seen on top of the unsafe building on Evra Way. Officers were dispatched to the incident and found two young boys on the roof of the building, which has stood empty since November 2022. 2 years. Doesn't time fly? It sparked a warning from Rugby Police saying, "Scaling large buildings is very dangerous and could leave people seriously injured." This Saturday sees the inaugural Rex Pogson Lecture, which will feature high-profile writer and broadcaster Elizabeth Oldfield. Dr. Pogson, who died last March, was headmaster of Lawrence Sheriff School from 1985 to 1998 and was active in the community through his work and support for the Bradby Club, the Rotary Club of Rugby and St. Andrew's Church. The lecture is titled Fully Alive, Tending to the Soul in Turbulent Times, the name of Elizabeth Oldfield's autobiography. Canon Edmund Newey, rector of St. Andrews, said, "Rex's contribution to the life of our town and county was remarkable for its breadth and depth, and he is hugely missed by so many people. We are confident that this new annual lecture will develop Rex's rich legacy to the cultural and religious life of our local community for future generations." Eric Wood, DL, chair of the Friends of St. Andrews, added, "Rex personified the belief in service before self, and this lecture addresses themes that matter to him and are very relevant to all of us today." The lecture takes place at St. Andrew's Church on Saturday, February the 1st from 4 p.m. Tickets cost £10, £5 for under 18s. I'm going. Hope to see you there. I'll let you know next week what it was like. the Transforming Lives Educational Trust runs Halton School, and they're proposing to add a new building to their site and create an all-through school, educating children from reception through to sixth form. The new building would house two classes comprising 60 pupils in each year group, and they're looking to welcome 30 reception children in the first year, planned to be next September 2026. James Higham, the Trust's CEO, said, "This is an incredibly exciting proposal. These plans will give local families a very different offer and something that will be unique in Rugby and the surrounding area. Children will be able to learn on one site from their first day at school through to them heading to the country's top universities and employers." He said there was evidence to show the all-through model could enhance well-being, create role model and leadership opportunities for students, and improve academic learning. A planning application has been submitted to Rugby Borough Council for the new primary school building, and there is a public consultation on the plans that's underway now and runs until February the 7th. It's the end of the road for Alan Ford in Leicester Road, the landmark rugby car dealership business. It's closing its doors today, January the 31st. It's one of 50 dealerships being axed under plans set out by Alan Ford to halve its dealer network by 2025. Staff were not available to comment on job losses at this stage, but a spokesman for Alan Ford in rugby said, "Effective from 31st January 2025, our Ford sales and service operation at Rugby will close permanently." It's worth noting that all but three of the dealerships impacted have retained their Ford authorised service section, so they're still operating just without a retail arm. Rugby's Chinese New Year celebrations planned for last Sunday, the 26th January, had to be cancelled due to the threat of high winds and rain associated with Storm Eowyn. The event was set to take place in the town centre from 11 until 4. Organisers said they were bitterly disappointed to cancel the event, but of course had to consider the safety of staff and visitors. The highlight of the event was to be a procession of dancing lions, dragons, lanterns and drums. Linda Lowne from Rugby First, the town's business improvement district, said, "We appreciate this is disappointing news all round, as so much time and planning has gone into this event and so many people were looking forward to it." "I sympathise with Linda. It was a great idea and its time will come again. But safety is an overriding aspect of all event planning. In the meantime, gong yi fa choy to all our Chinese friends and all those who can translate my dodgy Cantonese." You know I'm itching to be able to bring you a What's On section that would fairly cover all the quality offerings in the town centre for the next couple of weeks, but there isn't one yet that I can share with you. But, jumping the gun a bit, I was delighted to be sent the following audio promotion for a show coming up later in February.
Always look on the bright side of life. If life seems a bit rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps.
Join us for a hilarious musical adventure this February. The Rugby Operatic and Musical Society proudly presents Monty Python's Spamalot. This uproarious comedy will have you rolling in the aisles as a talented cast and crew bring the legendary tale of King Arthur to life. Performances run from the 20th to the 22nd of February at Lawrence Sheriff School. Tickets are available online now. Find us on Facebook for more information.
That's the Rugby Operatic and Musicals Society, going through quite a rebirth in talent and ambition, I understand, putting on Spamalot at the Lawrence Sheriff School, February 20th to the 22nd. Find them on Facebook for details and tickets. The Rugby Operatic and Musicals Society. I'll happily entertain short 30 to 40 second high quality promos for inclusion in this high quality podcast. So send me what you've got and we'll see. Send to simon.rugby.news@gmail.com. Okay, here are the answers to the Rugby Advertiser General Knowledge Quiz. Question one was, which 2008 American fantasy comedy film starred Ricky Gervais as dentist who can see and talk with dead people? Well, that was Ghost Town. Question two was, which Australian batsman holds the highest test career batting average of all time? That was Don Bradman. Question three was, who was the mother of both Richard I and King John? And that was Eleanor of Aquitaine. And finally, question four, where is novelist Jane Austen buried? And that is Westminster Cathedral. Well, I hope you got some of those, if not all of those, right. And at least you enjoyed it, because there's no prizes, apart from a huge thank you for you for listening and enjoying this podcast. You are listening to the Rugby News Podcast with the main stories from the last week from Rugby Town and all around, so you can hear them at your convenience wherever and whenever you like, for free, every Friday, and with no distracting ads, all in about 20 minutes or so, often with an added feature. You can listen while you're walking the dog, driving to work, or finishing off that ironing. Still not finished it yet. If you like what you hear, be sure and follow Rugby News, all one word, on your usual podcast station. And do tell your friends. If you like it, they'll like it too. Do please spread the word. Thank you. So that was a roundup of the local news stories about our rugby town, plus a surprise quiz. And I'm indebted to the excellent local newspapers, Rugby Observer and the Rugby Advertiser, for all their help. And hey, for even more detail and even more news stories as they happen, go to their websites or follow them on their Facebook pages. Okay, we've pretty much reached the end of this podcast, and thank you so much for staying with it. I publish it once a week, every Friday morning, so if you click follow next to Rugby News, or one word, on any of the podcast platforms, you should get a notification when a new one drops, so make sure you do follow. I hope you liked what you heard, found it useful, and you want more, and if you did, others will too, so share the news and spread the word by sharing the Facebook posts and telling your friends about Rugby News, all one word. Any ideas to make it better, of course, let me know. After all, it is your town, your people. Reach me on email simon.rugby.news@gmail.com. Okay, I've been Simon. Goodbye.